Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Colossians. I'm reading from the Common English Bible. Therefore, as God's choice, holy and loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with each other, and if someone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other. As the Lord forgave you, so also forgive each other. And over all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The peace of Christ must control your hearts, a peace into which you were called in one body, and be thankful people. The word of Christ must live in you richly. Teach and warn each other with all wisdom by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in speech or action, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to God the Father through him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Haiti has been devastated by an earthquake. It has affected Port-au-Prince and all of the surrounding areas, and the devastation is beyond what anyone might expect. We have a plane that is ready at Love Field today. It's leaving at 3 o'clock. It is full of all the supplies that we could come up with in order to help for those who are in need. And what we're looking for today is some volunteers. We need people who can get a bag packed, have a U.S. passport, and be at the airport at Love Field by 2 o'clock today. And if that sounds like you and something you can do, you can actually leave right now and go ahead and go. I'm kidding, don't leave right now. But the date, that is actually a real announcement that I heard. And the date that I heard that was January 13th in 2010. The earthquake was real. It was a 7.0 earthquake that just devastated and rocked the country of Haiti. And I will say, this was a lunch announcement that was done at the SMU Perkins School of Youth Ministry. So it was for a group of people who were studying youth ministry, probably a room of United Methodist youth workers. And I'm wondering, would any of you have volunteered to help? I didn't go to Haiti that day, although some of you do know that I've gone since then. I went last year, and I'm going again this year. But I think it's so significant that the people who made that announcement came to probably that, it was a weekday, so it was probably the largest gathering of United Methodists in Dallas that day. They came to the gathering of United Methodists to even come up with this crazy idea that they might get some volunteers that would take them up on that offer, and some did. And so while I didn't go, I think it's significant that we are part of a denomination that has this reputation for being the type of people who would respond to a call to help, especially for the world's poor. And this morning we are concluding our Back to Grace series on United Methodism. For those who've been following along, 2 weeks ago we talked about prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. Last week we talked about personal holiness, and if you heard me preach, I actually challenged everybody to come up with one or two practices for personal holiness. So I won't quiz you all if you've been keeping up on your promises, but I do encourage that. And today we're learning about social holiness. Now, personal holiness is the personal faith practices that you do in order to grow closer to God. Social holiness, those would be those things that we do in community. And they're often found at this intersection of faith and mission, faith and good works, service and justice is where you'll find social holiness. And this morning, we're going to look at how we as a community of faith, as a local church, can grow in social holiness. We're going to talk about the larger United Methodist Church, and most importantly, we're going to talk about why it even matters, like why it's significant. So first, we're going to look at the role of the local church, and we're going to start with this definition of the church that I'm quoting from the Book of Discipline. Finally, we emphasize the nurturing and serving function of Christian fellowship in the church. The personal experience of faith is nourished in the worshiping community. I love that word, nourish. And if we look at today's scripture reading, we're told to be tolerant with one another and forgive one another. We're called to be one body. We are to teach one another in wisdom. There's a lot of each other and one another wisdom in today's passage. And as Christians, we believe that faith is something that you don't get to do that on your own, but it's something that we do depending on the rest of the body, that we do this in community. And as the sermon title says, we need each other in order to grow in holiness. And so I want you to consider for a second the sacrament of baptism. And so, you know, in baptism, quite often we'll have a small child in our church, but it could be one of any size. They'll come to the water, and we'll ask them as a church, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? That's what we ask about nurturing. And then we respond as a community of faith. With God's help, we'll proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. And I bring that up because when anyone is baptized, we promise as a faith community to nurture not only the baptized, but also one another, because we need each other in our faith. And we nurture one another in our faith when we sing in worship. And I don't know how your lives are normally. Some of you are professionals, but for the rest of us, no one's asking me any other time of the week to sing out loud, just so you know. But when we're in worship, that's our chance to really sing those songs, to sing those hymns from our heart. And there's a reason we do this together, and there's a reason we need everyone's voice to participate. Partly, it's not just to drown out my voice. It's because we need all of the community working together as we hear the songs of our faith. I love the hymns that we sing in this service in particular. And we learn our theology, and we have all those words written in our heart. So when we're facing things, it's drawn back up within us. And we need each other to sing. It lifts our spirits. But we also need each other in small groups. And those who have been following Wesley's story, you know that when Methodism first started, that was a really big focus, that we had small groups and class meetings. And in these small groups, they would not only study the Word and they would learn about God, but they would hold each other accountable. And what's even better than that, one further than that, is they would then go and do acts of service together in order to grow in their faith. We need each other for that. And I even challenge you to consider in your life where you might have a small group, whether it's a Sunday school class or a Bible study that you're about to sign up for when we get a chance to sign them up. But what can you do in that community to not only hold each other accountable and learn about your faith, but then also go out in service to make the world better? Ideally, if we're doing our nurturing right, we get that outward focus. And so a beautiful feature of United Methodism that I mentioned is that it just goes beyond the people who are gathered here at this congregation of New World, but we are part of a much larger connection. As United Methodists, some of us modeled that this week. Last Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, we had the Back to Grace event. It was hosted at First Arlington, but it was put together by 10 different United Methodist churches from Arlington. And we came together as one connected body to worship together, to sing together, and to share communion as a meal. We also did an act of service in our offering, and I'm really excited to share that we raised over $1,000 for UTA Wesley and $1,000 for Arlington Urban Ministries through making that bigger connection. And so if you consider, that's a local impact, a local example, but we also have a global United Methodist. We're one of the few denominations that's all connected all around the world. And so that's nice, and what's cool about that is we have a DNA that's all in common, all throughout the globe, this idea of mission and service and accountability, that's something that unites all the United Methodists around the globe. A great example of that, kind of the crown jewel of Methodism, is UMCOR, the United Methodist Committee on Relief. And many of you may remember in 2013, there was a chemical explosion in West Texas, a fertilizer plant. And I see the nodding heads. Some of you might live far enough south in Tarrant County that you could actually hear the explosion that day. But when their explosion happened, of course, we from our Central Texas Conference brought down a team of early responders, but also FEMA was there and the Red Cross. All of your normal first responding teams were there. But Lorraine Waftall, who worked for the conference office and missions at the time, had a beautiful story to tell. She was there with all the first responders, and then a trailer pulls up. And as it turns, you can see the cross and flame like we have it here on the side of the trailer. It was the UMCOR trailer. And I love her firsthand account of how the other responders responded to seeing that trailer. They said, "Oh, thank God, the Methodists are here. Now we can get some things done." And so UMCOR is known throughout the world as being this force to respond and to get things done. But beyond disaster relief and recovery, as United Methodists, this worldwide church has a long history for concern for social justice issues. Even going back to John Wesley, Wesley and the early Methodists expressed opposition to the brokenness that you would see in society, things like slavery and smuggling, inhumane prison conditions, alcohol abuse, and child labor. We're kind of known as being a denomination that meddles with people's lives. We're one that cares about social issues and speaks up about it. We're working against injustice, and that work that continues today. On the screen is the Book of Resolutions slide. From the Book of Resolutions, the United Methodist Church believes God's love for the world is an active and engaged love. It's a love seeking out justice and liberty. We cannot just be observers. So we care enough about people's lives to risk interpreting God's love, to take a stand, to call each of us into a response, no matter how controversial or complex. The church helps us think and act out of a faith perspective, not just responding to all the other mind makers up that exist in our society. And I invite you to look at today's passage. It's printed in your bulletin, or part of it's printed in your bulletin. I want you to really focus on the action words that are printed there. We're told to teach and to warn and to sing and to do. But I love verse 17 in particular, the last verse. It says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Do you notice all the action words? The life of faith, living in Christ, is a life of action. It's a life of doing. We're called to be in mission and service to the world. John Wesley once said, "The gospel of Christ knows no religion but social, no holiness but social holiness. You cannot be holy except as you are engaged making the world a better place. You do not become holy by keeping yourself pure and clean from the world, but by plunging into ministry on behalf of the world's hurting ones." And I love that image. I can feel like your hands getting dirty in that plunging into ministry. And so why don't we get it right? John Wesley asked that same question. When he was 86 years old, he was getting together one of his last sermons, and he was spending some time contemplating about the life that he had been leading, and by all accounts was very successful. At this point in his life, this thing called Methodism that had started was all around the British Empire. In America, the young America, it was the largest denomination of its day. John Wesley was an author. He was very well respected, very widely published. And so by all accounts, incredibly successful. Yet as he gets down to write this last sermon, or one of his last sermons, he's contemplating the significance of his life work. And a question he asked himself was, if the Methodist movement he had begun was so successful as it was, why wasn't the world a better place? I think it's a question we could probably ask ourselves today. For John Wesley, the measure of the success of a minister or of a church or of a spiritual movement at all, of Methodism itself, wasn't the numbers of people that are sitting in the pews. It wasn't how big and beautiful or how many buildings they had. But the true measure of success is whether the world was a better place, a more just place, a more compassionate place. My friends, I think we have some work to do. So we think of the church as a body. You can actually look at the text for today, and there's a phrase in there, I want to get it right. "Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." The Greek word in there for binds is the exact same Greek word that's used for ligaments in your body. And so how beautiful is that image, that love is what binds us together, just like the ligaments are what makes your body move. And when a body is healthy, when you're doing all the things that you're supposed to do to keep your body healthy, imagine all that you can accomplish. It's the same way with the church. When we're a body of Christ, doing the things that we're supposed to do to be healthy, when we're doing the faith practices, when we're learning, when we're holding each other accountable, when we're all singing together in worship, when we're being generous, when we're doing the things that are healthy and out of love, we can do amazing things. There's really no stopping what we can do. But on the other side of that, when our body's out of whack, when we just don't feel up to doing the things, when we don't want to do the practices, when love is not what's binding us together, what binds us together instead is our personal agendas, our desire to prove that other people are wrong and to somehow prove that our own points are right. And we get ourselves in this place where as a body, we're not doing any good for anybody. We're pretty much immobilized. Or perhaps worse, when we sit idly and don't exercise our body at all, there's no real inspiration in what you get there. And so it's easy to see how John Wesley was in the state that he was in at that point in his life, contemplating our progress, and we might be wondering why the world is not yet a better place. And I think a big part of that is because the work of justice, of reconciliation, the work of transforming the world, the work of God, it is slow, hard work. John Wesley didn't live to see the impact Methodism had on slavery. He didn't maybe even know yet. And so you think about the slow work of God that we have a small part in. We have to keep doing the work, even if we're not seeing immediately the effects of what we're doing. And so you remember that Haiti example I used at the very beginning. I want you to raise your hand if you went on that trip. Now, I can't raise my hand. Okay, none of you did. But raise your hand if you've been on any international mission trip, if you've left this country. That's amazing. Keep your hands up. If you've been on any mission trip at all, please raise your hands. And I know that God doesn't call everybody to go out in mission, but if you have done mission here in our building, like if you've helped put together manna bags or you've helped collect items or organize things, keep your hands up. Please keep your hands up. So if you've helped in mission at our church, raise your hand. And if you have helped mission by supporting mission, perhaps you have prayed for people or you have given a donation to some sort of mission, then raise your hand for that. If you've ever given at least a dollar to United Methodist Church, I'm just trying to wait till everyone's hands are up. I want you to put your hands back down, but what I want to show you in that is we're participating already in the work of God, in the ways that we support or go and do. I think God can call us to even more. But what we need to do first is that listening and love, being open to where God might be calling you to do more or to be more generous, where God is calling you to do God's work, you listen and respond. And friends, I think what's at stake here is we have the ability, it sounds corny, but we have the ability with God's Spirit working in us to transform the world. And that's a vision I want to be a part of. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, God of all holiness, it's our deepest prayer that each of us will hear the call that you have on our lives, that our hearts will be open to what you have said to us. Grant us the patience to pause and to hear your call on our lives. Lord, set aside our fear and grant us courage to act, speak, and move in the way that you have called us. We pray to be a community of faith that supports one another, nurtures one another in the faith, and works together to become a force of transformation in our community and the world. We pray for your reign to come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
We have heard the word. Here is our response to the word. Will the ushers please come forward to receive our tithes and offerings? And let us pray together. Our dear Father, source of all good things, you have blessed us with many, many gifts. You give and you give to us, holding nothing back. Just look around at the gifts we have. Our beautiful world, each wonderful day, our families, friends, poetry, music, learning, the blue sky, rain, the fresh air, flowers, birds, animals, all the beauty of the earth are gifts from you. But in response, we often hold back. We often give meekly, dismissing the impact that our gifts can have. Open our hearts as we give of our resources and ourselves to the work of making your gifts of love, compassion, and grace have the greatest impact in our world each and every day. This we pray to you, our loving, gracious, and generous God. Amen.